Bienvenidos a la Internacional de la Educación.
Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Education International's new podcast series, Pedagogies of Possibility, that focuses on how the teacher-led learning circles for formative assessment project has provided the space for educators to come together across its 7 project countries to invent innovative pedagogical practice that improves educational outcomes for all students. Martin, hi, good to see you again. And to begin, can you tell us a bit more about the teacher-led learning circles for formative assessment project?
Sure thing, Iona, and nice to see you all back. The Teacher-Led Learning Circles for Formative Assessment project aims to provide teachers with tools and support to identify and establish effective teacher-led formative assessment practices that can be disseminated within and across education unions. The Teacher-Led Learning Circles for Formative Assessment project will operate across classroom, national, and international contexts. The project is being developed in Brazil, Uruguay, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Malaysia, South Korea, and Switzerland. In each country, the project features 3 learning circles, providing professional development for groups of teachers to support their leadership of student-focused learning projects, including understanding and use of formative assessment practices.
Great. Thank you so much for giving our listeners that really important bit of background, Martin. So can you tell us a bit more about the conversation that you'll be having today?
Today, we are returning to Switzerland, where we are once again joined by Robert, lecturer and researcher at the University of Teacher Education, St. Gallen, Monica, teacher and learning circle facilitator in Zurich, Selina, teacher of 6th grade, that's ages 12 to 13 teacher in St. Gallen, and Christine, teacher of 3rd and 4th grade, that's ages 9 to 11 in Lucerne. They'll be joining me in the next part of the conversation to discuss the importance of encouraging reflective practice among teachers. We will also speak about how educational systems can make space for this work through the incorporation of teacher-led learning circles into pre-existing continuous professional development programs.
So this is the second in our Swiss Learning Circle series, and this one is based on a question with our local academic Robert. And I would like to introduce you to Dr. Robert Smith, who is lecturer and researcher at the University of Teacher Education in St. Gallen, Monica, who you've met before, Monica Bieri, who is teacher and learning circle facilitator in Switzerland, and we have Selina and Christine, who are also going to be chipping in on the questions around professional learning and development and reflective practice. So we're going to start by talking about systems and how systems can make space for this work through the incorporation of teacher-led learning circles in pre-existing continuous professional development programs. Robert, Monica, Selina, and Christine, welcome. I think it might be useful to begin by clarifying the context that we all work within here in Switzerland. I'm here in Switzerland with you all today. It's a beautiful day, and we're here up in the mountains, breathing the fresh Swiss air. So we'd just like to thank you for sharing your school with us and your classroom. And we're going to start by clarifying a bit how dedicated and institutional time is given to professional development in Switzerland. So we're going to start with you, Robert. What's your understanding of how the schools make space for this time?
Well, basically, I believe that the time in school dedicated for professional development is more related to organizational things, like, for example, we have a couple of computers, are we going to share them with all the teachers, or are we going to put them in one classroom, these kind of things. And professional development is less dedicated to pedagogical questions, for example, what are your experiences with plan work, or how can we profit from your experience with plan work? Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to bring you in here, Monica. We've just heard from Robert about some options for dedicated time for professional development. But would you say that this dedicated time includes space for reflective practice?
At the moment, what I experience in my practice in my school in Canton of Zurich and what I observe in other cantons, it's more or less a bit the same. It is, we meet for development with a topic. Normally it's somebody invited having a speech or something, but it's very passive and it's absolutely not individual. And what we teach, we are asked to treat the pupils very individual, and we are not treated individual in the development of our profession. And every teacher has his or her personal situation with the class, with the classroom, with the team, and that has to be considered more for the professional development of the teachers, and to give the teacher time and possibility to reflect on their work. And that the most important ingredient of personal development, of professional development, is time and community with teachers, teacher who discuss with teacher about their experiences and learn from teacher from their experiences. That is absolutely important and not yet very developed.
Okay, thanks, Monica. We're going to bring you in here, Selena. You spoke in our last episode about the liberty to act. Do you agree with Monica that there isn't enough time for you to act independently in terms of finding space for PLD that is about the things that you've been talking about?
In my team, I can find a lot of time to create and do stuff, but it's more like, what we're gonna do, are we gonna do like a special week for a certain topic, or are we gonna plan a ski day, or what are we gonna do with the kids? Time for reflecting, time for learning, that what Monica just mentioned. My question is there no time? Or do the teachers don't want to find a time to do that? Because we have so much to do while we teach and while we prep and whatever. So many teachers, I think, don't want to just have another meeting just to talk. I think that's more like the problem. I don't think we have not enough time.
I think that's a really interesting point you've made, that teachers are taking professional learning and development time to complete transactional tasks, as opposed to asking the learning questions about what is going on in the classroom. So, Christine, I'm going to bring you in here. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yes, I do. And what I also see with what Monica said, that we as teachers are not treated individually. We all have to do the same professional development. Mm-hmm. And for example, this year we did something about feedback, and then I'm sitting there and I already know everything and I'm bored and I don't want to do it. Like the students, if I would do with them, with everyone the same, there will be students who are bored and there will be students who are overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but they do it with us. Although they teach us, we shouldn't do it. And then I sit there and think, I don't need it because I already know it. And next year we will do something about formative assessment. And then I know everything and I don't want to sit in there. I would prefer to choose my own professional development topics, and then I can really dive into it.
So you're talking about adult learning styles, which is a word that the Canadian rep brought up at the ILC. It's andragogy. But that leads me to you, Robert. Why is it important that we have the time and the space for the reflective practice that our teachers are talking about here?
Oh, I think that improvement can only happen if you have the time think about, for example, what worked well and what didn't work well, to break out of the routine, because if you're if you're only doing the same every time again, then there is no improvement. But if you have the time and discuss with people who are on the same, who have the same connections, the same thinking, the same attitudes, then this can really improve you and give you ideas how you could change something. Otherwise, teaching is just like keeping your style for over 20 years, and then when you look back, then you would say, ah, I have done this already 20 years before. And yeah.
Okay, now we're going to reflect on your experiences in this teacher-led learning circle that we have here. And I'm going to start with you, Monica. How has your experience as facilitator of this learning circle impacted your experience in the classroom?
I think it is a question of leadership, and leadership is a task in a group, is a role, and the role here is to look for the framework, and it has a lot to parallels to what I do in the classroom. So, and what I thought is important, yeah, what I discovered or one of my observation of our circle is that I noticed how even with adults and very engaged adults and very a lot of ideas bringing adults, it is important that we have a framework and we have a program and we have somebody that gives a task and says, oh, now time is over, or that helps us to achieve a goal, because otherwise we would do something together what would be very nice, very interesting, but it would remain a bit something.
Selena, do you agree with that? And could you also comment for us perhaps on the fact that you're all coming from different cantons? Is this sort of cross-canton fertilization, shall we call it, a usual practice within the Swiss system? And how has it helped you with your practice in the classroom?
To understand Switzerland, you have to know that even in the same city, in the same village, same in a school different class. School, just a different building, that doesn't work. Because I don't know what it is. It's some kind of mentality of Switzerland that we have different laws and rules in every canton, and every city has different laws, and it's very complicated. So that makes it very hard to compare the framework or the given things to compare with probably Christine's. She has different tasks she has to do because she works somewhere else. And what was your question again? Sorry, say that again.
Can you learn off each other, given that your realities are so different?
Yes, they are so different, but the same. So we came together, and in the last episode, Christine said, we have the same mindset. So we learn from each other, we face the same struggles, problems, but it's so different in the same problem. So it's a bit complicated to understand, sorry.
No, it's good. Christine, I'm gonna bring you in here, and as a German national, mm-hmm. Teaching and working in German-speaking Switzerland, I'm sure you're not alone amongst that group, mm-hmm. but you bring a different experience and a different perspective. Can you just comment on that learning that you've had in the circle together and how you've been able to bring that to bear within the classroom setting?
Mm-hmm. For me, this circle was really good because I met teachers who have the same mindset like me. Because I started working here 1 year ago, and then I really had the feeling that my teaching was wrong because all the other teachers told me. But when I talked to them, I got the feeling, no, my teaching is not wrong. Because even talking to Monica, who worked on the curriculum, on the Swiss curriculum, I realized, ah, the teaching I'm doing is like it should be with the curriculum. And the other teachers see it. Of course, not all of them, but a lot of teachers still work the old way and always told me, no, you should not do it like this. You should not do it like this. If you do it like this, the kids won't respect you. And yeah, but it really helped me to get the feeling my way is okay how I do it. And yeah, the kids also feel it because yeah, I trust them and they gave me the support that it's okay like this and it's good like this. And yeah, this is what I got from it.
Okay, that I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Robert, I'm going to bring you back in now. Because we've always got the million-dollar question hanging over our heads, or we should say million franc in this setting, which is, how does this sort of practice, teacher reflective practice, ultimately impact on student outcomes? Now, as you're aware, in this project, we haven't focused on what happens amongst the teachers and the way that they work with a direct link to student outcomes for very good and very clear reasons. We've explored that in the research framework. We've explained why we're focused in this way on the teacher process rather than the direct link. But we do ultimately believe we have a better impact on student learning this way. Can you just talk about that for a minute?
I guess, I hope that because the teachers in this circle are more reflective, that they also better reflect the learning of their students. Because if teachers can think of themselves and their impact and what they're doing, and if they even get feedback from the students whether what they're doing works well or not for them, then they are near the students and their needs and their individual support they need. So even if perhaps in Monica's class they do not fulfill all of them the Swiss standards because some of them have special needs, I suppose that the way she's teaching helps them to progress individually, to give them also strength to believe in themselves, and perhaps later on we will see effects of this as well.
Okay, thanks Robert. Monica, you were talking to us before about your example of using an armchair in the paradoxical approach to student learning. I always like to end a podcast with a personal question. So my personal question for all of you is, what is your favorite film which displays a teacher and a student in a learning conundrum? So Monica, we're going to start with you.
No, I have to pause because I have to search.
You could pose an easier question.
I'm going to start you with one. Okay, I'm going to go for Sidney Poitier to Sir with Love, which was about a black teacher in London back in the early 60s. And I remember when I saw it, it made me think, if only I could be a teacher like that.
Well, the only film that comes to my mind just now is, I've got no idea whether you actually know it, it's a French film, Monsieur Mathieu, Les Choristes, The Chorists. I haven't watched it in many years, but he's a teacher teaching troubled boys and he gets them together. I can't remember how, but that's how it's supposed to be, no?
C'est parfait.
C'est parfait.
Okay, Christine, let's go to you.
I'm thinking about a German movie. Don't know if I'm allowed to say the title.
Of course.
It's F.U. Goethe.
Oh, okay.
It's about, it's a comedy, and it's about a man who wants to get his money back because he robbed a bank, and yeah, it is under school and he needs to get into the school so he becomes a teacher, and he gets a really hard class, and at the beginning he doesn't know how to handle them, and he shoots them for example with a paintball pistol. It's quite funny, but in the end he learns how to handle them by getting to know the personality and supporting their personality and finding out what the students like and what they would like to learn.
You see, you can do this question. Robert.
I'm also thinking of a German film. What I like about that film is I think the most difficult job a teacher has is to handle the parents. And she does it very well, but actually I can't remember how she does it again. I just remember some vague ideas how difficult these parents were and how it's maybe important to get them on board. And let's come back to what we saw on the blackboard. Some of you mentioned that it's important to give the parents some impressions on what is going on in school. And I think if we do that, if we integrate them perhaps somehow in this professional development, maybe we all could profit, the students could profit as well. I think it's important to work with the parents, and this could perhaps also help some teachers that are a bit unlike to the others in a school.
Okay, I love it. That was very elegantly done, Robert. Thank you. And you get your go, Monica.
Yes, I get my go. My problem is I worked a long time as a film projectionist, and I projected a lot of films. And I have a Chinese film in mind that was in the competition in at the Locarno Film Festival. And it was about a teacher who tried to do it differently by building, it's called not One Less or something like that. A young teacher, 14 years old, in a school somewhere outside, and one child didn't come because this child went in the city to earn the money on the street. And the whole class worked together to earn the money that this young teacher could go to the city to bring this boy back to school. And they hadn't chalks, they had nothing. And then they started to learn together because they had to calculate how many brickstones they have to transport to get how many money to... And that was incredible for film for me.
What a set of inspirational stories. We've had humour, we've had cooperation, we've had collaboration, and we've had a wonderful day exploring this circle. So thank you all for your time and for your comments, and we look forward to tracking your progress.
To get the latest global education news and advocacy, subscribe to Ed Voices on your favorite podcast app or anytime on SoundCloud. And as always, tell a friend, spread the word, and please give us a review on iTunes.